Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. You can't be in business for decades unless you have a great reputation and just a highest level of integrity. That's Purdy Insurance. Great to see Adam Purdy on Wednesday night at Front Street Station. Steve was there as well. Steve Engel, great to see them. Look, they go out of their way because, look, I don't care if it's auto, home, life, or business insurance, whatever it may be, whatever your insurance needs is, they'll find you the right insurance that fits you so you're covered. They'll also be there every step of the way if you have any questions, and they're going to find you the best price. They're going to find you the best price. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Right, on the subject of great customer service, we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's great to see Tom Mertz the other night over at Front Street Station as well. Tom and I had a long Penn State football conversation. Tom made some great points. I mean, Tom knows his sports. He knows his sports. He knows his football. I can tell you that. It's one of the better football conversations I've had. It's great to see Tom. All right. Let's get to the play-by-play call of the day. Now, can you have great play-by-play in preseason games? Yes, you can. 47 seconds to go, U.S. Bank Stadium, Vikings and the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are winning the game 20-13. And the Vikings, with 47 seconds to go, try to win it.
Season game number three on the line. Sloter, pointing, passing. Hey, it's caught for a touchdown, Chad Beebe. Kyle Sloter to Chad Beebe. And it's 20-19 Seattle with 47 seconds to go. Cold-blooded Kyle Sloter, well done.
Yeah, look at
Winicky. Oh, he got hit at the goal stripe. In for the two. Maple Grove go crazy again. The Minnesota Vikings have taken a one-point lead at the end of the third preseason game. At least as preseason football goes, Sloter, Winicky, you can't stop it.
Oh, you love seeing these young kids do it.
Indeed. I mean, you'll never see these guys again, but they had their moment, and in the final 47 seconds, the Vikings get a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and go from seven down to winning the game 21-20. You actually can have exciting moments in the preseason, believe it or not. And that was actually a pretty good moment. All right, college football. We got more high school football coming up this week. We'll get to that with our roundtable later in the week. Phillies continue on here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State football will take center stage on Saturday. 3:30 the kick, 2 o'clock the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on WKOK.com. And joining us now from the York Daily Record, one of the great beat writers that covers Penn State football, universally respected, and that is my friend Frank Bodani. Frank, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Good to talk to you. Hey, one more week to go, right?
One more. Here it is. Finally here. Got some high school football games starting, and now I got Penn State football about to start. Frank, about this team, you've listened what James Franklin's had to say. Like every college football team has a few questions going in. They all do. This is the nature of people moving on. What were your questions, and what are the answers you've heard?
Well, I think a lot of the questions revolve. I mean, they're typical things. They're things that cannot be answered to me until 2, 3, 4, probably that three, four games down the road. Your kicker, how's that going to shake out? I mean, special teams, I think, often gets overlooked by people in their discussions. But, of course, they're the things that often are the most glaring weaknesses when they have issues. Who's your kicker going to be? I mean, who? And when they try that guy on the first, is that really going to, you know, we got to see more of one game. That's going to be a question important that I don't think is going to be for a while. And, you know, the big thing is they have a lot of talent, but there's areas where it's inexperienced to a degree. And I think until you get in the meat of the schedule, the defensive line is going to be an issue. How good is it going to be? Talent's there, but how's it going to produce? I mean, those two things stand out to me the most. And the linebackers is just an interesting mix of skills that until you see them all work together, how effective are those guys going to be?
When you look at it, we've watched him for 2 years. What have been your thoughts watching him develop? And is there anything left where he has to make another step, in your opinion, if any?
Well, I think from that position, the leadership role is ongoing. Different cast of characters to some degree this year. So how kind of connect with these new guys? I mean, it's a relationship. He's got to be the ultimate guy who makes that relationship work and produce. So he's going to be working with getting the best out of guys who aren't Saquon Barkley and Mike Gesicki, as other guys that he has to help step up. I mean, how well is he going to be on the page with DeAndre Tompkins, for example? DeAndre is going to be a guy that I think we're thinking has to kind of step up into a larger role. How is Trace going to handle that relationship? And I think as a quarterback, I mean, he even talked about this this summer. He can always be a better decision maker that never ends. So the one thing he mentioned is at the end of some of their tough losses, you know, the offense kind of melted a little bit. A couple of those losses were hit a lot of interceptions. I mean, he took it on himself. But when he throws them in bunches, and they came in a few games. So he knows he needs to be better at those times.
All right, you mentioned the linebacking part. You talked about the linebacking part. Now I want to talk about the offensive line, the people in front of him. You and I both know that based on what Penn State was going through, it was going to be the slowest part to come back. And true to form, it has. What are you seeing now from them that this is the fifth season, scholarships available, and what's your opinion of it?
It's got to be good now. No excuses for it not to be. Now they have the talent, the recruiting that James Franklin did, combined with experience, because all these guys, I think five guys, have started games and have had success before. Thirdly, depth. So if somebody doesn't pan out, two guys get hurt, three guys get hurt, they're suddenly not sending out an SOS. They got other guys. I mean, they didn't at the beginning of him, they didn't have really almost any of those three things.
Right.
Now, to me, they have all three. It's got to be a strength. To me, that's the key to why this offense should be more balanced and can be better even than last year in some ways.
Obviously, the way offense has played today, people are scoring points. Penn State certainly has been one of the leaders of the pack when it comes to scoring points. I've always felt that defensive coordinators need to somehow figure out and find a way in today's game to find one more stop each half. How do you view that, Frank?
You know, Penn State seems to have been ahead of most of their, like a step ahead the past couple of years.
No doubt.
And I think that's the key for them, to continue to be a step ahead. It just seems with the play calling, with the scheme, with what they wanted to do. And I think it comes down to having so many different options. And then we go back to Trace McSorley. How can defenses get one more stop when, you know, that guy can do so many different things? How do you take one thing away and not be worried about the other? Because he's at sometimes kind of a magician with the ball. Is he keeping it? Is he giving it? He can throw short and long. He can run. And the biggest thing is that he can move around the pocket and buy time. So good luck to the defenses for one more year trying to get that extra stop.
All right. When you look at the game, one of the things that we'll see this year is the redshirt rule in play. How interested are you as to the approach that you see from teams on a weekly basis as to how they handle the redshirt rule up to four games?
Well, I think, you know, a guy like James Franklin has brought in a lot of high-end talent the past couple of years. So this year, the guys that he brings in, I mean, what, a top five recruiting class?
Right.
A lot of guys are going to get looks early, right, I would think. At least some of them. I mean, maybe there's some guys that he's really high on that he knows aren't quite ready yet, might be ready for their look in midseason. But there's a lot more guys are going to get looks. He doesn't have to pick and choose as much like, you know, Yetur last year at defensive end. I think they had to make a decision early on. Is he going to be better learning doing it or better learning taking a red shirt? And they just had to make the decision he was going to be better learning playing the game. Okay, this year, they don't have, with a guy like that, they don't have to worry about that right away. Play him 3-4 games. Decision. I mean, for a guy that brings in a lot of high-end talent at one time now, it's going to be a whole different game changer, make things a lot easier on him.
How do you view the schedule, the way it plays out?
Toughest schedule as far as the opponents that they have to deal with under James Franklin, but the way the schedule goes, I mean, obviously a big advantage is the playing at home. I think it's an interesting – I think they have the bye week between Ohio State and Michigan State. Is that right?
They do.
Okay, so that's an interesting way that plays out because you kind of wonder – I mean, it comes – I kind of like – I would think you'd like the bye week in the middle of the year like that. Be interesting when you have such a highly hyped game like Ohio State, good or bad to have the week off after it. I mean, I don't know. Last year I think they got caught up in those two games being back-to-back. Tough to play those back-to-back. So I think the way it plays out, I think the timing of the schedule looks good, playing the games at home. It's just, can you navigate the difficulty of the opponents? They haven't had to play Wisconsin in the regular season since James Franklin's been there, I don't think.
Have not, no. They play them in the championship game. And two, remember this, when it comes to Penn State, Ohio State, last year, both teams had to play the very next week, and both teams went on the road, and both teams lost.
Yes. So it's not to me, it's not missing in this division, this league. So it's not, it's harder to look at it now in August because to me, it almost doesn't matter who you got lined up. It's how are you rolling at that time?
Yes.
Penn State has done a great job of being prepared for their opponent most every week because, you know, Michigan has a really good defense.
Yeah, of course.
This year they could have one of the best in the country. And they had a good defense last year. Penn State was so ready for them, you would never have known that.
That's right?
Because of when they played them. They had the bye. They were ready for them. They weren't ready for the weather and Michigan State. And that's why James was, I think, so upset after that game because it was an intangible that was thrown at them that they didn't handle.
Yeah. I do have to ask you about Urban. It played out. You saw it. You watched the press conference. What did you think?
My thought goes ahead. How is this going to affect them? Because it's lingering. There's no good, clear-cut, decisive answer to this situation. They didn't give him a big suspension. There's not a big penalty. The media and the world are kind of up in arms at the stuff that has come out in the report about him deleting text messages. So how does this end for him? I mean, I'm kind of concerned if I'm an Ohio State fan where this goes from here, because no matter what you think of what he did or didn't do, to me, this isn't going away.
No,
and who knows what kind of people start digging around in that situation. Can something else come out in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks? I think this is going to be a tough thing for him to recover from.
Well, and there's another element to this as well. He has to face at some point the media again to talk about it. Now, if he elects to not talk about it, and said, well, I just want to talk about the game. So, I mean, because he's going to come here. You don't think he's not going to be asked to hear about it? Of course he will be. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a good look at all if he does the same thing. I don't want to talk about it.
Right. There's a lot of unknowns to me the more you delve into this story. And I think it's almost like there's just the air is taken out and of the room. And where does this isn't going away.
Right.
He's going to have to try to fight through this. And I don't know if it's worth having him as the head coach if you're Ohio State, you got to deal with this. But that's a decision they made. And so interesting what happens in 5 weeks. I don't think the world's going to forget about this and simply move on. I don't think that's where the story's going.
I don't think so either. I think that's where the big surprise is going to happen for Ohio State. Like, well, what do you mean these people want to keep talking about it? It's already over with. We settled it. And I think they're going to realize something, that that's not how it works.
Too many weird questions with his memory, the medicine he's taken, deleting texts. I mean, it goes on and on, aside from the assistant coach and all the issues that seemingly new issues coming up. I mean, it doesn't bode well. And I don't know, how do you navigate a football season when this keeps coming up, like you said?
How you can navigate it when you've put so much behavior on the table that people are wondering.
Right. I don't, that's from practices and a few games, yeah, means it, but when you have, this is, but that's not all this is. This is the ongoing issues. You said it'd be brought up again and again and again.
Exactly.
We saw what happened to them the last time they had the upheaval.
Yes.
In 2011. Their season did not go well.
Yeah.
You saw the struggles Penn State had to try to get through.
Yes.
I mean, you can't compare the situations, but you understand what I'm saying. Even when things look good, even when you have good coaches there and a good team there, it's a lot more difficult than that.
No question. Frank, thanks so much. It's great to hear from you. Can't wait to see you next week.
That'd be awesome. Enjoy the beautiful weekend coming up.
You too.
Frank Podany, York Daily Record. It is going to be a beautiful weekend coming up. We're looking forward to it. 5-day college football festival. Essentially, that's what it is. All the Power 5 schools are playing. There are some big games. Washington-Auburn, big game in Atlanta. Notre Dame-Michigan, big game. LSU-Miami, big game. I mean, it's not like it is a slate that is devoid of big games. There are some big games this weekend. And Penn State-Appalachian State will open it for the Nittany Lions Saturday at 3:30, on at 2 o'clock. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK and, of course, on WKOK.com. Big games. What I like about Miami-LSU is that it's on a home field. Notre Dame-Michigan's on a home field. What I don't like is Washington and Auburn in Atlanta. And the reason I don't like that is simple. I don't like these neutral site games to start the season, the Chick-fil-A Classic, whatever. Now, look, I know why it's being done. I mean, you cannot blame an athletic director ever for saying, look, we're going to take the money and play the game. You can't blame them for that. You know, if I'm sitting in, hey, look at Sandy Barber. Sandy Barber is responsible for 31 sports. You have to pay for it. You have to pay for the 31 sports. So if you're offered additional revenue that can make that job easier, can you blame them for taking it? Now, realistically, competitively, I don't like it. I mean, Washington's got to travel all the way across the country. Oh, Auburn's got a bus. And again, when you look at the advantages that the SEC builds in with some of these games, it's amazing. I mean, Louisville's going to play Alabama in Orlando. Okay. But they build these advantages in. You don't think Auburn fans would not love to go to the Pacific Northwest to see a game? Husky Stadium is an incredible incredible setting. I mean, how many stadiums are there? Now, Tennessee's one of the SEC, where you pull up the boat to then go into the stadium. That's how you park in some areas for Husky Stadium. You don't think Auburn fans would love that? You don't think Washington fans
would love to go down to the Plains and see Jordan-Hare Stadium? Come on. That's why I'm not big on the neutral site games. College campuses are special. They're beautiful. Should be playing the games there. All right. Coming up, we'll replay our interview with Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, on what's happened at Ohio State. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
7 new Fords every day. Sunbury Motors needs to average 7 new Fords sold per day until the end of August. So you win with these discounts. Save up to a whopping $16,200 on the area's largest selection of new 2018 Ford trucks. Choose from over 80 trucks with new 2018 Ford F-150s slash to as low as $25,995. Pick from 56 2018 Ford Escapes priced as low as $18,820. And there's 0% financing for up to 72 months, plus discounts as high as $5,000 on many new Fords. SMCS 21 2018 Ford Focuses, starting at $14,925. SMC is where you want to be in August for the largest selection and massive discounts on new Fords. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley and all of Central PA for over a century. Hurry in. SMC will do whatever it takes to sell 7 new Fords per day till the end of August.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And again, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Had a chance to talk with Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch last week. We played the interview for you at the end of last week, but some have said, hey, look, we'd like to hear some of that again. So let's revisit that. Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch.
Good to be on, I think.
No, you're talking to me, Tim. You're fine. Let's start with this. One thing that you'll discover is that if you live around here, you probably have a better handle on what happened around here. You live there. What do people there and in your job understand about the situation that maybe somebody outside Ohio would not?
I don't know, man, because I think it's a good question. I don't mean to be judging questions.
Oh, no, no, no. In other words, I
but
know.
Usually, but yeah. Usually when somebody says that's a good question, it means they're trying to think of a good answer. They're just stalling.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, never think you've seen it all. That's my reaction to all this. And number two, you know, as I'm learning, Urban Meyer, one of the more successful coaches in college football history, obviously like Joe Paterno was way back when, but Urban Meyer made some mistakes. His career was sort of like on the line yesterday when you really get right down to it, almost like a jury, what 12 angry men. This was like maybe 17, who knows what they were, men and a couple of women deciding his fate. And, it went into the day based on people I knew who were talking to people on the Board of Trustees, not direct line, but indirect line. I got the impression that there was a chance he could be back coaching the team as soon as later in the afternoon when the day started. But the people who held out for penalties, ruled the day in the Board of Trustees meeting with the president. And, the details that have been released since then show that obviously he had a problem with one assistant coach by the name of Zach Smith, who he fired, as back on July the 23rd of this year. And You know, man, it just takes too long to go through all the details of everything.
Right.
But the bottom line is Urban Meyer, you know, for want of another word, regretted maybe keeping Zach Smith around as long as he did. But as everybody knows, Zach Smith was a grandson of Earl Bruce, a former head coach at Ohio State, whom Urban Meyer had always considered his greatest mentor, short of his father. So sometimes the guy that you bring along that still is sort of a cut up in class, he continues to be the cut up in class, and those are the guys that usually get you in trouble one way or the other, and that was the case here. But you know, that's kind of it in a nutshell from the standpoint of how things went down. The domestic abuse violence thing, it was reiterated last night. Zach Smith was never arrested or charged while in Columbus, Ohio area with domestic abuse, or based on the allegations from 2015, especially, were at the heart of this that started this whole thing. And some people around the country don't want to understand that. I mean, that there may be two sides to a story. But when it comes to he said, she said, in those kind of instances, you know, 99% of the people are going to side with the she said part, especially when you learn more about Zach Smith and his lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that's where you are. But, you know, Urban Meyer has been quick to react to any type of allegations of domestic abuse or charges against, definitely concerning his players. And you just have to look up the record on that.
But, right. I want to ask.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm wandering because this whole thing wanders full report.
I guess there's an original Powell report where arrest is checked, and then a subsequent one where it's not. Okay, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, the bottom line is there was no arrest, so that's the bottom line on that anyway.
Why was he arrested in July of this year by just pulling the car into the driveway?
He wasn't arrested. He was
this year.
He was answering a summons. He was answering a summons about a complaint. About a complaint of criminal trespassing brought by his ex-wife from May. He was never arrested on that. It was basically a charge of criminal trespassing when he and his wife was not at the appointed place to drop off his kid after an hour. And so he just drove to the apartment where she lives, his duplex.
And
he was dropping off his kid. He never even got out of the car. She was taking pictures of him in the driveway. And dropping off the kid, and then come to find out there probably was no restraining or protective order in play at that point. That will be debated at a court case coming up second week in September.
Right. Yeah.
And then she asked for a restraining order. He was answering to that on July the 20th, and then she asked for a restraining order against him a couple of days later.
Okay.
Which was granted, because usually those are granted, and then you find out whether they're, you know, correct or not. But he was not arrested even for this. Go ahead.
What about item number 3 in the report, which says, and I'll pick it up a paragraph down, we also learned during the investigation that Coach Meyer has sometimes had significant memory issues in other situations where he had prior extensive knowledge of events. He has also periodically taken medicine that can negatively impair his memory, concentration, and focus. All these factors also need to be considered and weighed in assessing Coach Meyer's mindset on July 24th. Did you know about that, or was that new information for you?
Well, that was new information, but I know that he's dealt most of his, or quite a while in his adult life, with an arachnoid, I think it's an arachnoid cyst in his skull, which can sometimes bring great pain. And I think occasionally, evidently, he takes a medication. I'm sure that's what it's about, to deal with that. So, but I don't even, you know, I didn't even know where to even start or stop with that thing, because, well, does that mean he was on that medication on July the 24th, or, you know, what are you telling us here? They didn't get that specific about it.
I mean, is he on that medication?
We didn't get that full report like that until after the press conference was over anyway.
Right. I mean, is he taking that medication on game day?
I have no idea. Like I just said, we didn't get to ask that question.
Oh, no, I'm just...
Stuff I don't know about.
Yeah, you and I are talking back and forth there. I mean, that's a legitimate... Okay, are you taking it on
Well,
game?
Maybe. I mean, you know, but that's like 2000. That's like the July 24th thing. He was responding. I was the first person to even ask him a question that morning when he got off the elevator because we hadn't gotten to talk to him. And me and a guy named Bill Landis from Cleveland.com and Dan Murphy walked up from ESPN.com and he was responding initially and basically all day to a report that had been written that on previous night that Zach Smith had been arrested and charged in 2015 for this domestic abuse thing, when in fact all it had been was an allegation. There had been no arrest or charge. Like you said, there was a check mark on a sheet of paper that was erroneous, or at least a sheet of paper that Brett McMurphy had. But the bottom line is he was never arrested or charged for that. Still hasn't been, and that's why Urban Meyer, you know, for want of another word, kind of knee-jerked his reaction. Even though, as you read the report now, that he was counseled on how to deal with it by Gene Smith, the athletic director, the night before, because they feverishly were looking around. They had already fired Zach Smith and were feverishly looking around to find any evidence of this arrest and stuff, because one of the problems with Zach Smith was he didn't always tell Urban Meyer when he got in trouble. Most of the time he didn't. And that's what finally got him fired. But there was no – so Urban Meyer's initial responses was to the assertion that he had let a guy get arrested and charged with domestic violence and did nothing about it.
Right.
And he fought back vigorously against that. But, you know, water under the dam, as Earl Bruce used to say now.
We know that Zach Smith is the late Earl Bruce's grandson. As you read this, I can see that maybe holding sway over a couple of things. But once you get to 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, what was it about Zach Smith that, I mean, look, if suddenly it's Coach Steve Jones or it's Coach Tim May, you and I are gone. I mean, as you start reading, how many times in that report was if you do that again, you'll be fired? You and I would have been gone. What is it about him that held sway beyond just being Earl Bruce's grandson?
Well, I was talking to my wife about the very same thing today, and I said, you know, if it all happened, all these things had happened within like a 3-month span, you'd go, okay, boom, you know. But these happened intermittently and sporadically, and it's kind of like a, I'm not justifying. I'm just telling you, how it works sometimes. For example, when you've got, everybody has kids, people who have kids, all the kids aren't the same. And you have this one, almost everybody has one kid who kind of gets in trouble and he kind of goes right and he gets in trouble again and kind of goes right. I mean, a lot of people have that and they deal with it. And it's not until you look back on it 6 years later and you go, holy smokes. I mean, you let this guy kind of slide. Well, Urban Meyer's dealing with a huge program and things like that. But clearly he had a blind spot. That may not be the right word, but a near spot. Let's put it that way. When it came to Zach Smith and his transgressions, and clearly, and he even admitted that last night, that he was a grandson of his mentor and he gave him more rope than he deserved. And now he's paying the price for that, obviously.
What was in that report that, we mentioned the one area about Zach Smith. Was there anything else in that report that over time the people in the room as reporters you didn't know until? Because, again, I thought in terms of the ability to put together the report, in terms of saying we found this, we found this, we found this. All right, I give them a lot of credit. I thought that part was pretty thorough.
Yeah, I mean, but we'd all like to see more of the records from it, but I don't know if we'll ever be privy to that. Obviously, it was a publicly funded investigation, so we should be privy maybe to more than what we got.
I agree.
But then, past that, I'm not. This is just me. I mean, I'm not into reading volumes of depositions, and it's not even really depositions because there's no lawsuit involved. You're just talking to lawyers who are asking you pointed questions. But bottom line is, you'd like a little more feeling, like who was the other coach at that strip club back in whenever it was, 2014, which could possibly be an NCAA violation. That's not even clear now, but where you spent $600, well, there was another guy having fun with you. I'm talking about Zach Smith. So you'd like to know things like that. But bottom line is, yeah, I mean, sometimes it just becomes overload. But you know this, it came down to finally in the end, Ohio State was embarrassed, you know, by what happened.
Sure.
That's why the guy has a 3-game suspension and will work like will go for a month, almost a month without pay. And that's a, for me, that wouldn't be a, that'd be a drop in the bucket. It'd be a significant thing for me, but, you know, it's going to be a $400,000 or $500,000 hit for Urban Meyer.
Right.
And then past that, the athletic director is going to be suspended because clearly they didn't, even though they were aware of the 2015 allegations and the allegations were brought to their attention by someone else at Ohio State who had heard from the Powell Police Department, the city of Powell Police Department. The idea was, I mean, no arrest or charge was made, but the assertion was more could have been done, you know. But of course, that the more part was never answered last night. What do you mean by more, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway,
Tim, how troubling was it to you about the part of the report that discusses the text messages beyond 1 year not being in the phone and the fact that he inquired about that?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously, if you want to get, if you want to get an FOIA on text messages and stuff, and they're not there, that troubles you now in retrospect. But, you know, of course, you didn't know about it. But,
right, sure. But he asked about it after he came back from Chicago.
Right, right. So, yeah. I don't know my degree of troubling. I don't know how to answer the question, except obviously it's a publicly funded, obviously, Ohio State's a self-supporting athletic department,
sure,
like Penn State, I'm sure. But
yes, it is.
It's a,
yep,
considered a public phone, I guess. So, yeah, you're troubled when somebody does something like that. I remember when the Jim Tressel investigation was going on back in 2011, you know, we saw the text phone or text message or history. But back then, you couldn't retrieve the actual text messages. But the funny thing was, I was the second most, I had text messages with Jim Tressel, second most of anybody, I think. Because, you know, I always saw it as my one communication device that he can't ignore, you know? But anyway, bottom line is, yeah, you're troubled a little bit if you're looking for evidence on A, B, C, and D and things. But, I don't know where to go other than that. Yes, you're troubled by it.
Two more questions, and one about this, and then I'll move forward for a second. And it's what about the fact that it doesn't appear that there was vetting on Zach Smith when he was hired at Ohio State? After I think he had spent Marshall and Temple, I think he had been at, and then that there appears to not have been vetting in the athletic department about the hire.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate that there wasn't vetting, but it wasn't. I don't even know how that would have worked on a situation where there was an arrest made back in 2009, but there were no charges coming from it. I don't know how that shows up on a scan, so to speak, you know, or whatever you want to call it, a background check.
A nexus search or something?
I think the troubling part was it was not volunteered by either Urban Meyer or Zach Smith when it came up. But I can legitimately believe that they might have thought, well, you know what, nothing came of this, so, you know, there was no charge. I mean, it's like being, you know, I'm not going to say that, but bottom line, there's no charge. There was no charge came from it, so they might not have felt that they needed to own up to it, so to speak. So I don't know how to answer it other than that.
Yeah, no, I just thought I'd at least bring it up. One final question that deals with the team itself. Look, you know, they're 18 to 22-year-old guys. They're out there fighting for their jobs. I'm going to guess you probably have been to, 2 hours worth of practice and 30 minutes with stretching? Maybe an hour with stretching.
More like an hour's worth of practice and 25 minutes of stretching.
There you go. Oh, let's see, minimal stretching. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's probably more than that. Yeah. I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Look, Urban aside, what do you think of this team?
Oh, it's on the flip side, as the old saying goes, this is a loaded football team and has some capable coaches leading it. And I don't know, man. It's like you never know how things are going to hit. But, you know, football teams are always looking for a chip to put on their shoulder, even when they maybe don't have one.
Right.
Now they've got one and a legitimate chip, you know, and probably in their eyes. And this, whenever you pick a talented team and give it even more impetus, you know, sometimes good things can happen. You know, I just keep thinking back to that Penn State team from a couple of years ago. That, you know, let's face it, James Franklin, you know, nobody probably admitted it, but James Franklin was kind of on the ropes, you know, and all of a sudden they get that miracle win. And I call it a miracle win because when you do it with two block kicks, you know, you got some things going for you that night.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't been the same team since, you know, and they're one of the more exciting offensive teams in the country with Trace McSorley at the controls. And I'm not just making it a local angle there for you. You never know what's going to click on a team, and suddenly everything changes. And that's what happened with Penn State. But this is a very, very deep, as deep and talented a team as Urban Meyer's had at Ohio State. And, you know, you have to remember he won a 2014 national championship. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean they necessarily have an Ezekiel Elliott or a Joey Bosa, but they do have a Nick Bosa. And they have two running backs who've gained 1,000 yards, and they have a quarterback that possibly could stretch this offense to the ideal that Urban Meyer's always wanted, a very, very every corner of the field type passing attack threat with a power running game and a wide game. So I don't know. I think they feel pretty good about their situation as far as being number one, talented, and now number two with an impetus that maybe they didn't have 4 weeks ago.
Great job. You always do a great job. Appreciate it very much. I hope at least on your end you felt the questions were fair and we were able to had a good conversation about it.
Oh, yeah. Man. You know, like the press conference last night, though, so, you know, you get like maybe two shots at questions, you know.
And yeah.
For example, I asked one question about the situation, and then I asked one question with Urban about, you know, how tough is it to be not being with your team and stuff, only because my assignment was to write something about the team rebounding or moving on from this one way or the other, because that's the way it is, you know. But,
you know,
in any kind of, just like you just asked me, like 12, I would like to have asked about 400 questions last night because, you know, they've been building up, especially over the stuff that we talked about, and especially letting a young coach who probably didn't deserve to be hired there in the first place then keep sliding, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and that got asked, and he answered the question, and he basically admitted, you know, that was a mistake, but what do you do now? You know, you move on. So there you go.
Hey, I thought you did great, really, in a really tough spot, because you're answering stuff you don't really have all the answers to. And I appreciate the fact that you and I at least had a nice give and take, open dialogue about it.
All right, man. Anytime.
Hey, anytime. Hey, Tim, right. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you the week of the Ohio State game. All right.
Heck yeah. See you then, man.
Tim May, Columbus Dispatch. All right. Now we're going to start talking about the games the rest of the week. Looking forward to that. I know we got Neil Coulon coming on tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Steelers and their preseason game against Tennessee. And today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Thanks to Audrey Snyder, Frank Bodani, Nick Dunn, Mike Conti, Tim May. Thanks for joining us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.